This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
I am so full from this past week. And the worst thing happened is that first we have July 4th, which was excellent. And then we had three or four record heat days on Earth. And so, you know, when you're hot and full at the same time,
it was the worst.
And so I haven't recovered yet.
You like schwitz it all out of you so you can eat more.
I feel like I feel like I've been schwitzing, Morty, but like I'm bloated. I think that's the right word. And we're going into this weekend and I don't know what to do because I do Pancake Saturday and I'm like so torn right now if I'm going to go into it. And the truth of the matter is I really plan this Saturday to have my pancakes, my coffee, and then really delve deeper into these two cases, which I don't understand.
I'm
telling the truth. No one's really talking about it, and it's bothering me. Everyone's like all caught up, like you were, Morty, with this whole affirmative action thing, and whether we're going to have legacy stuff. Everyone's talking about it, and for me, I don't understand how we're not talking more about the mailman. I always say he delivers. You know, a mailman knows how to deliver.
Karl Malone.
And he's naughty. Do you know about him? Carl has some sexual bad proclivities, I think is the right term. Yeah, no, they shunned him at the last game. So we got these two cases. We got the mailman and in Groff v. DeJoy. And why is that important? That's about Title VII employment discrimination and religious accommodations. And then we got 303 Creative, which is about I have First Amendment rights to hate everyone and not do any work for anyone. And I was going to read those things.
Big step forward for the country.
But I wanted to go into it, but I'm feeling because I'm so bloated, I needed some help. And I was on. No, I'm telling you.
And we aren't enough for you.
You're not enough for me. Well, the thing is, I don't know if you've been watching, but there's this thing, the Law and Crime Podcaster. It's True Crimes Daily, the sidebar. You might know about it. I was on it once. I was like the special ed guy on his show. Like I just said, I don't know. I wore the hat. And so I was on the show with my man, Joshua Ritter, who's this really famous LA prosecutor who now represents like Hollywood stars and professional athletes and top executives. And I felt like if he could handle Hollywood, he can handle me. Like, so I was like, Josh, he's joining us.
Welcome, Josh.
Welcome, Josh.
Joshua. Is it Josh or Joshua?
Hello. Or Joshy.
Josh is just fine. And thank you for that intro. I will not be able to live up to it, but I appreciate being on the show. Thank you.
Well, we're glad to have you because I don't know, like Josh, I'm struggling, and Josh is he's a legal analyst. He's on Fox and Court TV and News Nation, and I can't hold it, Josh. This heat plus the stomach, I'm just like off. I don't know what to all week. Like I've been going home at like 4, and then I get home and my head's swelling. And you're from LA, so you must be used to your head swelling.
And I am used to my head swelling. But what's funny is we haven't had the heat. I know you guys have been getting heat, but it's been like really unnormally cloudy here. I mean, I wake up every single day and I'm waiting for summer to hit, and it's overcast until the afternoon. So yes, we're very spoiled in Los Angeles, but we're also missing the summer. So a little bit of me is envious that you had a really hot 4th of July.
Well, Josh, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring the heat to you in LA right now. I don't know if you read about this. Ready? Bill de Blasio, our mayor in New York City, and his wife, Charlene, is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I think it's Charlene.
She spells it weird. I don't know. McCray. She's a cool chick. I liked her on the campaign trail, but guess what? This is what we do in New York. You guys may be like very conservative and cold in LA. Us liberals, where we're sex positive. That's how we are in New York. They are now legally married, staying married, very married, 29 years married, living together. But she wants to have fun because girls just want to have fun. And she's going back to her lesbian roots. Do you have that mayor?
Really?
That's what she said. She was a lesbian originally. Oh, you said to Alex you were going to handle this one, Morty. You didn't know about her lesbianic activity?
I didn't know that part. No. I just thought it was odd that they announced they felt the need to announce that they're separating.
Living together.
While they're living together. And they're going to stay married.
You never heard?
It sounds very progressive
girls
to me.
Just want to have fun.
I like it. Maybe we have an open kind of relationship.
There's in the articles, it says that she wants to.
He's been talking about it before when they met. Like she was like, she admitted lesbianness.
So is he going to get in on this?
I don't know. Well, Josh is going to tell us. He has celebrity clients. He's going to know these things. Like, I don't know. We're very boring.
I'll keep my ear to the ground. This is all a newsflash to me, but I'll keep my ear to the ground.
Josh,
I love that they have to announce it too.
Exactly. Like, that's what I was saying, Josh. Lives. You know what?
Can't you just do your thing and not let it doesn't have to be a press release on everything.
Maybe Andrew and I were talking about this off air. Maybe she had like some plans that night and she didn't want people to see her with somebody else and then question it.
Page six material or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. Probably on one of those apps.
Oh, no, I'm telling you what it is right
Friends
now. Fields, Laura,
Fields,
is what you're
Fields.
Thinking about. Fields is the fun one. If you don't know about Fields, Josh, that's where all your clients are these days. That's where Sex Positive lives. But I think what's going on is she's about to start her OnlyFans page. And this was like, we're gonna read Mrs. Mayer's own. So are you feeling hot yet over in L.A.? Did we bring the heat?
It's warming up for sure.
Yeah. You know what's amazing? Josh's show is all about these major criminals that poison each other and they like grind each other up and put each other into soup. And ours is the freaky one today. That's all I can tell you. Josh is going to go back. He's like, I need some like really calm stuff where everyone's normal. So Josh, I don't know if you read about this, but everyone's talking and I'm getting flack from everyone. Morty, I don't even know if you saw from this past week's show. We were talking about affirmative action.
We were.
And we talked about in affirmative action, if we're going to see legacy as the next case. And the day after we podcasted, their case was filed.
The plaintiff was listening to our show.
I'm telling you. And they filed and they said it violates the Equal Protection Clause. And they said a legacy admissions violate it. But Josh, what happens is I put on our show, well, Lauren does it. She's our producer. She puts stuff up on social media. And we said that legacy really is helpful to white people and Christians. Mm-hmm. And we said white people and Christians because Christians are the biggest population and whites are the biggest population in college. And someone on our TikTok has probably written me 15 different comments about how it's the Jews. And we're like, I think Jews are like 1% of the population. Like, what are you talking about? And right. He doesn't even realize that Hindus actually go to college more than Jews. And even beyond both of those, we have a denomination of Christianity that is the Unitarians actually go the most to grad school. There's actually U.S. labor statistics. Setting that all aside, everyone wants to talk about it's the Jews, so no one's focused on the evangelicals. So I want to talk to you today about evangelical Christians, if you're okay about that, because you may not know that these evangelical Christians cannot deliver the mail on Sunday. Did you know that? They can't deliver the mail on Sunday, and they might work for the U.S. Post Office, and they might, originally they didn't have to deliver the mail, but the Amazon comes in, and then you got to go deliver the mail on Sunday. And there's this case, Groff, and it goes to the Supreme Court. We get a decision by Alito. Morty has an Alito poster in his office.
He
used to have the trading cards, but he traded an Alito and a Gorsuch for himself to get.
You know how in trading cards, you probably don't know, but in trading cards and sports trading cards, there's these thing called jersey cards where you get a little piece of the jersey that's built into the card.
I thought that's what you got on your Thomas card.
Yes,
in the trade.
Yes, I'm trying to get the Alito rope card. I can't get it. I can't find it. It's going on eBay fun, for all these religious nuts are trying to buy it for like $10,000.
Well, because of the evangelical. So here's what happened. You know, in Title VII's anti-discrimination law, which, by the way, in employment discrimination is probably the biggest topic both politically and legally in the United States. Like, everyone's got an opinion about everyone else's opinion. That's the best way to say it.
Like,
everyone's got an opinion about everyone else's opinion.
Especially the Jews.
The Jews.
And the evangelicals.
I got opinions about the evangelicals. We're going to talk about those people. And so this Groff fella, He's a post office guy, which I have to tell you, in the right climate, might be the best job ever. Alaska, terrible job. Wow. But like, if you were in like a nice South Carolina, you wore the postal worker shorts and the postal worker short sleeve shirt, had a little satchel over. That sounds delightful.
Yeah, it really does.
Right? So Amazon.
Then you sit down on like somebody's porch and eat your lunch
with lemonade. She comes out and brings you lemonade, Morty. Always. In if you're gonna go south even more, you go to Alabama, it will be sweet tea. But
and somebody coming out with a rifle.
Well, that's just to protect you. So anyway, this Groff fella, Amazon comes to town and they say, you got to work on Sunday. And he goes, oh no, I can't work on Sunday because I'm evangelical. I can't work on Sunday. And they go, but you got to work on Sunday. And there used to be this law that we knew this was a law from this case called Hardison from 1977 that said, hey, guess what? Even if you have a religious accommodation that you're acquiring under Title VII, even if it's a bona fide religious activity, even if they believe it's religion, even if you deserve the accommodation, so long as the employer could say, to give you this accommodation, it's going to be a de minimis hardship to us. It's going to be an undue hardship, but de minimis. More than de minimis, we don't got to do shit for you, dude.
Right.
And very low standard.
Yeah, very low standard. Like, so, for example, lowering employee morale would be enough.
We'll call it the fuck no standard. So, basically, they would just be like, hey, we don't feel good about this. And I want to tell you that Alito, our man Alito, and this court back in 2020, Alito with his homeboy Clarence Thomas and Gorsuch, they all endorsed the de minimis standard. And I got to tell you, even in 1986, which is post the Hardison, there's a case for called Ansonia v. Philbrook. And here's a quote from the court. We determine that an accommodation causes undue hardship whenever that accommodation results in more than a de minimis cost to the employer. Now, fast forward to the 6-3 conservative majority. Fast forward through Alito and Morty having a piece of his robe. And all of a sudden, they say, we've been reading this case, this Hardison case from 1977, which we endorsed ourselves in 1986 and endorsed ourselves in 2000. We read it all wrong. It's not a de minimis standard. The employer can't say fuck no. The employees have rights, which is amazing. Conservatives want employees to have rights.
How did they get de minimis from the term undue hardship?
I don't know. Who cares? But they got it three times.
I think they just threw a bone because of the affirmative action decision and the 303 decision. They were like, here you go.
Yeah, well, they also love religion.
We're not that conservative.
But to be clear, this was a 9-0 decision. Like, where's Sotomayor when you need her? Oh, I'll tell you where she is. She's going, this is employees' rights. I'll tell you when you say, where's Kagan? Employees' rights. But the conservatives go, religion, 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 religion.
Right.
But more importantly, Josh, what I'm trying to understand is a policy standard. And I know you don't practice in this field, but you know celebrities, you know athletes, you know executives. What I'm trying to understand is California. I saw your Gavin Newsom with his beautiful hair.
I love that hair.
It's beautiful. We don't have hair like that. We're balding. This guy comes on and tells us that you're like the fourth biggest GDP in the world. How is California employers going to be able to deal with the fact that now whenever someone says, you know what? It doesn't even have to be a religious tenet, Morty, to be a religious thing. You know, the Pope could disagree with you. You could be Catholic and say, that's the way I read doctrinal law. So the question becomes, how is an employer going to function? Or is California no longer going to be the fourth largest GDP? Is this decision going to make California the ninth largest GDP? Like, I just wanted to get your perspective.
Forbid.
Yeah, tell me
well,
how you're thinking.
I got a question about this, if you guys know. When he was hired by the Postal Service, did the rules change, in other words, while he was there?
Yes.
Or did he come in, and you see what I'm going with this? Is if it would be one thing to me if he came in and they were already delivering on Sundays, and he walks in and says, I'm not doing Sundays. But it might be a different thing, in my view, if he came in and they weren't delivering on Sundays, and he goes, great, that works with my religion, and then they switch it up on him for Bezos and Amazon. Is that what happened?
So you're thinking of switch it up, kind of like de Blasio's wife goes from one way, she's on one team, the other team, she doesn't know. So
now you see where I'm going.
I just wanted to understand. So here's what happened. When they originally did it, there wasn't a Bezos. Like, there wasn't this Amazon delivery. There wasn't Sunday delivery. He had no problem. They get a contract through Amazon, and all of a sudden they got to deliver on Sunday. So, yes, they changed it on him. But before we get to the application of this specific facts, and I agree with you that maybe that would change whether it's a substantial hardship versus a de minimis hardship. And just to put out there, the court sent it back to the lower court to decide for him, Groff, whether there's a substantial hardship here. Right. But in general, that's a major difference for a company. That's what I think is so I don't understand how no one's talking about this. Like, corporate America, Main Street America, everyone is greatly impacted by this. You have an employee now, Morty liked to give this example, and you are a police department, Morty.
Yeah, like there's typically not a lot of Orthodox Jews in law enforcement. Why? Because they can't work on Saturdays. Right. And you need, obviously, staffing for a police department on Saturday. But now, with this new framework, perhaps they're going to have to grant more accommodations to Orthodox Jews that want to work in law enforcement.
Well, previously they would say it's just a morale issue. Exactly. We can't do this. We can't change
schedules. We can't make people work when they weren't supposed to work, and that would qualify.
But the question becomes how. You go.
No, I was going to say, and did the court make any comment on analyzing the religious, like, in other words, how do you prove that this is in fact part of your religion, or is it just you saying it?
I love that you're asking
I'm going with what your thought is here. What if you get a whole bunch of people who now say, oh, by the way, part of my religion is I only work from home, so I'm only doing
So I think you're right on. And that's what we found. The courts always, and this isn't the change, the courts have always said that. For example, the Pope could say, let's say that, hey, you can go take a medicine, we'll call it, for example, the vaccine for COVID, and we approve of that. And then people that are Catholic could go then and say, but we don't agree with the Pope, and we think because fetal cells were involved in it, it goes against the tenets of our religion. So even if the leader of your denomination says that it's not against the religion, you as an individual practitioner can ascribe, and the relation of how far you can go to what you prescribe to what your religion tenets are hasn't really been tested. But the real question is, do you consistently apply it?
Right.
That's what the question is.
Does it have to be sincerely held?
That's like the key.
Okay. Yeah, sincerely held and bona fide.
How do they prove that?
So it has to be based on something. There's actually this case in New York federal court years back where this Hasidic Jew wanted to take off work to bake matzahs.
Everyone should.
For Passover.
Shmira? Shmira?
So there's nothing that's preventing him from doing from baking the matzahs after work, but he needed a whole day to do it.
And of course.
Said that's his bona fide religious belief, and the court disagreed.
So the question of the bona fide belief is a challenging one, although, because there is no clear standard to answer your question, Josh. But I have a secondary question, which I want to know, is what does the word substantial mean in the first place? Like, they don't tell us in this case what substantial means. And
it means more than de minimis.
That's amazing.
It's undue.
Yeah. So what does that mean, though? And EEOC tells us from the ADA context, because American with Disabilities Act has that decision. But guess what? EEOC was just overturned in this case. So who knows, you can trust EEOC in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so, as you say, it means more than de minimis. We don't know what that means. It means that it doesn't have to be a tenet of a religion, but even if it's sincerely held by the individual, the court may disagree with whether it's held by the individual. So on a macro level, how do businesses, that's what I want to understand right now, right. How does a business operate moving forward? We have two issues here that this court just created for us, and the two issues go like this. And it all comes from one issue. I used to just be able to deny it because it would have changed culture.
Right.
Now, I need to figure out, can I deny it because it's not sincerely held on what Alex is saying? And then number two, on to this entire issue, what does substantial mean? And assuming that, let's assume it's the police department or a baker or a candlestick maker What do they do when we go to a Hollywood recording? We go to the I've watched this. They go do a whole Alex was in showbiz. I don't know if you know this. But Alex goes Alex was on Saturday Night Live. So Alex goes
the
to
movie,
Saturday Night
Live. I was a cast member.
Alex goes, and then all of a sudden the guest goes, "It's Saturday. It's the Sabbath. I cannot do this. I would like it to be Sunday Night Live." She like it should be Sunday Night Live. And the question is that now substantial? Like, how is the world? And I'm concerned about this because I think that we're going to have a major inflow of cases in religious accommodation cases. Not just me. I don't mean in my case. I mean, like, how do we know the standards? And as you know, Josh, for a court to make a decision and create the standards, we're not going to know the answer to this question for a minimum of 5 to 10 years by the time it fleshes out in appellate courts. So for the next decade, how is a business supposed to address, just on a humanistic level, how they deal with their people, how they move forward? How is this going to impact the economy? I don't understand how Congress didn't have an emergency session after this came out and say, we're going to create clear, articulable standards because we're about to kill our economy. Like, what say you, Josh?
Well, and then just to go with your thought, too, I'm imagining employers now, if do they have to somehow explore this issue during the interview process? And how do you do that without exposing yourself to some sort of lawsuit if you don't end up hiring that person because they need some sort of religious accommodation that would somehow affect your company, but you don't want to get into trouble if you don't give them the accommodation? Now, are you not hiring them based upon their religion? I mean, you see the snowball effect.
It's a problem. It's a gray area. I mean, you definitely can specifically ask about religion or another protected class. You can ask about duties.
But if they come in, Morty, to you and they go, listen, I'm a Orthodox Jew and I want you to have Sunday Night Live. I don't want to have Saturday Night Live. I need to do this. What do you say then in that situation? And I could tell you as a lawyer, Josh, I would tell, and my clients would probably stab me when I say this, but with the technical right answer is, don't, when they bring it up, say, that's not an issue today. Let me hire you. And then once you get hire them, you're supposed to say, I understand you want an accommodation. Would you like to engage in the interactive process? But that just sounds like a robot that's going to create a friction.
And
but that's how you don't
then
get
the
sued.
The interactive process is our show's on Saturday, not on Sunday.
And then you let them quit by not getting the accommodation, but you give them an interim accommodation while you're doing it. But it's ridiculous.
We sometimes work on Saturdays. Do you have a problem with that? We sometimes work on Sundays. Do you have a problem with that? And then, you know, what if they say they do? And then could they turn around and say, well, they didn't hire me because of my religion, not because I couldn't work on Sunday, but they attach the fact that I couldn't work on Sunday to the fact that I'm religious.
They absolutely can. And then you'd have to have a defense that there was a substantial hardship.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. So let me put another wrinkle in this.
We're going to see a lot of cases on this.
All right. So your head's spinning now. We're bringing the New York heat, but I got one more thing for you that
Charlene.
I want to put it all to you together. Ready? The other case of interest from the Supreme Court, and you have to read them together, and you have to read the one I gave you first and the second one second. Everyone's talking about 303 Creative being the case. It's a 6-3 Gorsuch decision. Obviously, Morty doesn't have that trading card anymore. And Sotomayor wrote the dissent. Alex has her on her wall. She's a big fan.
Correct.
I know it. So the thing is, this case is a different case. You could think this is a Christian case again, although the court didn't go with Christian here. In fact, the court said, and this is the same type of case as Masterpiece Cake Shop, which was a 7-2, which they made the decision on Christian grounds, on religious grounds. Right. Just to bring you back, the question is, in this case, does someone have to make a website for same-sex couples? And when I say for same-sex couples, it doesn't mean to get paid by same-sex couples. It means about same-sex couples. And the words about and for are very confusing here. So the real question, people frame it incorrectly, and they write for same-sex couples, and that's not what the case is about. It's about same-sex couples.
The messaging is the issue.
Yes, but that's not even how the court itself, they use the word for same-sex couples.
Right.
And so what this case says is that forget religion. First Amendment, freedom of speech, anyone who's involved in creative work, expression, like having a show, like if I had True Crimes Daily, the sidebar, I could pick which types of cases I want to go on. And if I don't like certain types of cases and certain types of things, even if every Jewish hate crime case I don't take, I'm allowed to do that because I'm allowed to be creative however I want. And even if the family of a victim of a Jewish hate crime keeps coming to me and says, do a show about me, I don't got to do it.
I don't do Jewish hate
crimes. But are you a public accommodation?
Well, that's the whole point. Public accommodation laws take second seat, Alex, to First Amendment. Right.
But just to clarify, like you can't deny that person because they're Jewish.
No, you could just not do a show on Jewish hate crimes.
Exactly.
You don't want to do a show on.
You don't like the messaging.
You don't like the messaging.
I used the example last week. Like we don't have to talk about interracial marriage on the show, but if we can't deny someone from coming on the show because he's black.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, well, that's how we read 303 Creative, and I think that's what the 6-3 conservatives are telling you. Ironically, just to throw out there, it's very possible that if the vulnerable group wasn't as vulnerable, meaning the vulnerable group is same-sex couples, if the vulnerable group was evangelical Christians, the question is, how would they rule on an evangelical Christian website? That's an interesting question we got here, how that would go. And particularly if we were going to go with some nice Protestants, those would be a winner. But here's the thing. We get this case now that says, Alex uses the word public accommodation, meaning going to a public space, commercial space. We have fair
housing. Goods and services.
Goods and services. We have Fair Housing Act. We have Title VII. Title VII is about employment discrimination. Title VI is about publicly funded universities, kind of like Harvard, back to the affirmative action case.
Subtweet.
There's all these civil rights laws from our man Lyndon Johnson.
And LBJ.
Are you down with LBJ?
Only because he signed the Civil Rights Act and his picture hangs across from my desk at work.
So here's the thing, though. I want you to now imagine the interview, Josh. Someone comes in and they go, and you're doing a podcast. And you're going to hire someone on your podcast. And I have to put out before we go to this even, why is freedom of speech limited to the things you're talking about, but not also to the people you're serving? Isn't it demonstrative speech to be able to decide which clients you're working with in the first place? And why is there a limitation on freedom of speech if we're going to say freedom of speech is absolute? Can't you just deny anyone for any reason you want just because you don't like them? Why is it that a statutory law from Title VII, Title VI, ADA, whatever it is, why does that surpass, or local law, this was a Colorado law, why does that surpass my freedom of speech to say I hate white Jews? I'm a white Jew, that's why I use that as an example. But why does that, that's my freedom of speech.
You're self-hating white Jew.
But I wonder why, that's 14. One beats 14. But the question becomes for Josh, he's interviewing people. Maybe me. He's interviewing people to be on the True Crime Daily, the sidebar podcast. And he goes, I want to tell you what we're going to talk about on the podcast, because I'm allowed to do whatever creative things I want because of 303 Creative. And they say, tell us what you're going to do on your podcast, Josh. And he says to them, you know what? I want to talk about only why religious people should not get days off on their day of rest as a religious accommodation and make that the focal point of my podcast.
Why would that be a problem prior to 303 Creative?
Because you put it together with Groff v. DeJoy, and did he just tell them that he's not going to have a substantial hardship from that, Morty? Don't you read these together that now you guys were talking about a second ago on the interview? Isn't this what the conversation was? Josh asked, this is where I'm going. Mm-hmm. How do you screen the person? Do you hire them? What do you ask them in the interview? Wouldn't that give rise to a lawsuit?
Right.
And I'm now combining it. I'm saying from 303 Creative, Josh, I just learned that my freedom of speech is absolute. So How is it if I make a discriminatory statement about what I want to do in my creative business while hiring someone, how is that discrimination and employment discrimination as opposed to me just exercising my freedom of speech, Josh? That's what I want to understand.
That's a big question.
Well, to answer your question, that's above my pay grade. I have no idea.
I don't think they do either.
But I mean, as you were asking the question, I'm starting to say, okay, so let's say we had a media company that skewed liberal or skewed conservative, are we allowed to hire people based just upon viewpoint? Like, in other words, it's a conservative newspaper, and I want to go be a reporter for them, and my politics, my freedom of speech differs from theirs, and they are going to compel me to speak in the manner that they require for their newspaper. Am I not being, and they don't hire me based upon that. Is that somehow affecting, am I getting too far in the weeds on this, or is this the same place that you were going?
Is this now
a discrimination issue or an employment issue, or are they allowed to do that and say, no, listen, we have a viewpoint here, and yours viewpoint doesn't align with ours. You can go ahead and share your viewpoint wherever you like, just not with our newspaper.
I think 303 Creative would allow you to do that.
Exactly. So I need to back up a week ago, before 303 Creative, our answer was that there's in New York, we have labor law 201. What is it? D, Morty?
Yeah.
Which is about political discrimination. I think California has a similar one.
Recreational activities
and political discrimination. And by the way, if you're a government employee, it's even more restricted. But based on 303 Creative, what I'm trying to get across, and I think you're saying the same thing as me, Josh, is even if there's a statute, federal, state, local, otherwise, assuming it's local and you're in a place like Texas or in Florida and they have the Death Star Bill, which says local laws can't restrict government any more than a state law. I don't know if you know about this. And the business can sue the local legislature for putting extra burdens on them beyond the state. But let's forget that for a second. Let's assume, for argument's sake, on this exact conversation, that there is a law that says that that's discrimination, whether it's recreational discrimination, Morty said, with political activities, or let's say it's a governmental speech issue. All I can tell you is right now, the way I read 303 Creative is a company has freedom of speech and laws that are there to create equality. Laws that are anti-discrimination. Unless they're in the 14th, assuming, Alex, that 13 different amendments in the middle don't make a difference. I'd argue first comes first, second is the worst.
Yeah,
but
you would.
assuming it's not an equal protection clause issue, the First Amendment, the way 303 Creative is written now says, and I'm extrapolating out to say, just like we would say affirmative action case with Harvard and UNC now says to employers they can't do race-conscious decision-making and DEI through Title VII, through extrapolating from Title VI to Title VII, we can also extrapolate from 303 Creative that any restriction on speech, whether it's actual words, writing, or demonstrative speech, based on state or federal statutes, is thereby unconstitutional, and speech wins all. And so the question becomes, as an employer today, where the fuck am I?
And what is speech, even? What if you're a catering business and you don't want to serve a gay wedding?
And where is the level?
Is that speech?
That's a really interesting question, right? Because the catering, that's a real difficult argument to make, that the catering is speech, right? I can wrap my head around. And correct me if I'm wrong, but with this 303, they're saying the person is not saying that they will not build a website for a same-sex couple. They're just saying, I won't build a website that is promoting a same-sex couple.
Right, a same-sex wedding. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say promoting.
Is it restricted?
I want to say the word about, not promoting.
Yeah, they're not denying.
About.
They're not denying general services to a same-sex couple because they're LGBT. They're refusing to promote a website of a same-sex marriage.
To create a website.
Create a website,
And they're calling it expression, but I don't...
But let me go there with the catering thing. I can definitely argue that a farm-to-table chef with six people that are coming to their restaurant to celebrate a union of two people would consider themselves an artist with expression. And I can also argue that's a caterer that has a contract for the SUNY system of colleges probably couldn't.
Right.
And then the question becomes, where is the line when you're saying this wedding? Are we talking about one of these three-day Indian affairs where they come over in on the elephant and there's thousands of people coming?
Indian weddings are the best.
What about for the caterer? That they have to provide their catering services to whoever, to whomever, pardon me. But what if that same wedding happens to be a same-sex wedding, wants them to also then add a special cocktail to the menu in celebration of this wedding? Now, does the special cocktail become speech, whereas the rest of the catering is not?
Well, I would tell you in demonstrative speech, everything's speech. Every action is speech. Like, demonstrative speech means your actions are speech. And so the question...
So is the catering speech?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if just to give my example again, if it's farm to table with six people sitting around and you spoke to the chef, they would say, the garnish on my soup is speech. That's how I show love to you. That's how I express myself to you.
Just like designing a website is speech.
And then on the alternative, I could argue that McDonald's fries lose their speech appeal at some point because they're just what they are.
Right, but where's the limiting?
I don't know where the line is.
There's no creativity.
But to Josh's point, which is, I think, the exact same point I'm trying to make on this entire podcast, is who the fuck knows? Like, where is the line? So on one note, we learn... I guess we wrap it together like this. And the Supreme Court tells us employees have all these rights. If they have a religious belief, even if it's not a tenet of the religion, as long as it's a sincerely held religious belief, but we won't tell you what that means. As long as it's a sincerely held religious belief and they say we want it, now an employer doesn't have to rely on a de minimis standard, they're screwed. They now have what's called a substantial standard, which we don't know what it means, to be able to deny it based on an undue hardship. And it seems like in this 9-0 decision written by Alito, all of a sudden, you now have employees' rights, employees' rights, employees' rights, employees' rights. And they're going to be able to get accommodations by claiming a tenet of a religion no matter what. Then you go read 303 Creative, and you realize, guess what, though? You might not even have Title VII in the first place. We just gave you Title VII. But Title VII doesn't exist, just like Colorado's anti-discrimination law, to Alex's public accommodation statement. The whole statute's unconstitutional. Title VII's unconstitutional. That's what my whole point is. Oh, no. If Title VII is thereby restricting the employer's speech in the first place. So what employers need to be now saying, see, if you really read this conservative majority, here's what they're saying. You have a right to accommodation. You could ask for whatever accommodation you want to be able to do your religion. And when you shift the burden, the employer can't say no unless they have a substantial hardship. And how do you show a substantial hardship? It's going to be impossible. Employees seem to have all these rights. But to Josh and 303 Creative, when you first meet with them, use as much speech as you want, say whatever you want, scream them out whatever you want. And if they say that in and of itself, they call that publication and discrimination law, publication and express or implied benefit or detriment to a protected class. That whole thing is now unconstitutional based on 303 Creative. I read freedom of speech is everything. So here's my thought. When I go on tonight onto Fields and I go check out my governor, Josh, and I'm getting the heat, all I want to see is Charlene McRae giving me lots of freedom of speech, and I'm going to follow her OnlyFans. This is the Leapcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.